Well, if you were to ask me, what is my favorite collection of readings from the ordinary time? And not from Lent or Easter, because there's special readings during the Lenten season and Easter season and Advent season, but from all the readings of ordinary time, the collected readings, it would probably be today. If not, it's super, super high up on that list. Both our first reading and the gospel today, I love them so much. I pray with them hundreds, if not thousands of times. Both of these readings are incredibly, incredibly, immediately, practically important. And you've heard me say this again, but it bears repeating that, like, when it comes to the gospel, if you ever want to know on any given Sunday what's the main kind of thrust or takeaway that the church is trying to get us to take from the gospel, read the first reading. That's always the lens, the either the microscope or the telescope or the binoculars that the church is trying to get us to see the gospel. It's through that first reading. So, pairing up the reading today, we have Peter getting out of the boat, walking on the water, and the fear and all that kind of stuff. And we'll get to that in a minute, but I want to quickly just look over this first reading from the book of Kings. 1 Kings, Elijah. He came to a cave where he took shelter. Now, Elijah had just finished slaying 450 of the priests of Baal, and he is being hunted down by Jezebel, who's trying to take his life. So he goes across the desert. He goes into this cave. He's in hiding. He barely escapes with his life. And now here he is, the scene from today's gospel of him in the cave. And God tells him, all right, Elijah, I'm going to be passing by this cave. And after I pass by, when I'm there and you can't see my face because you will literally die, but after I pass by, I'll let you see my back as I'm leaving, okay? So that's the kind of the preface. So here Elijah is. He's in the cave, and he's waiting for God to show up. And that's the reading. So go outside and stand on the mountain of the Lord, and the Lord will be passing by. A strong, heavy wind was rending the mountains and crushing rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After that, the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, this big blazing fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, there was a tiny whispering sound. And when he heard this, Elijah hid his face in his cloak, and he went and stood at the entrance of the cave. And so, why does the church choose to pair this reading of Elijah in the cave and the tiny whispering sound with our gospel for today? Well, I think there's a whole myriad of reasons, but this idea of, like, hearing God and the whispering sound. Peter started paying it. He started following Jesus. He saw the storm, the waves, the wind, and he got distracted by that, and that's when he began to sink. Elijah, he knew that God spoke in a tiny whispering sound. And that's the piece we're going to circle back around to here in a minute. But now let's look at the gospel today. I think there's one thing we could draw out, one theme, one place to focus in the gospel, it's that nasty four-letter F word, fear. Right? The disciples, when they saw him walking on the sea, were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. Can you blame them? They're being tossed about. They have no guarantee that the ship isn't going to break up. This is a sailor killing storm. This is not a good place. You don't want to be out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee in this kind of a storm. Yet here they were. And to see somebody walking across the water, you can't blame them for being even more afraid than they were already. It's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. And as many times as I have prayed with this gospel, I still don't understand Peter's response here. So there he is. He sees Jesus walking on the water, and his response is, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." I still don't get why. There's at least 12 people in the boat. Peter's the only one who's saying, "Lord, command me to come to you on the water." I don't know why that's the first thought that pops into his head, command me to come to you in the water. Obviously, it didn't dawn on the other 11 people, and I can't say that it would have been the first thing if I saw somebody walk in the water, hey, call me to come out to you. But needless to say, that is Peter's response. Lord, if it is you, call me to come out to you on the water. And he said, come. And here's, I think, where it becomes really, really practical. Is I think most of us, or at least maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but it's so easy for me to write off the saints because they were holy and they trusted God and they knew what he was doing and they had it all kind of figured out. And I think that is such a massive, massive, massive disservice to the saints. But it's also just, honestly, it's a pathetic excuse that I use to say, well, I don't need to do that because they had something else going on in their favor that I don't have. Therefore, I don't have to do what they did. But if you think for a second that Peter wasn't scared to death stepping off of the side of that boat, you've got it wrong. He didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know what that meant. And he's just as human as you and I. And we like something solid to hold on to, but out on the water, there's none of that. The difference is he didn't allow fear to control him. And when I come to this gospel, I always think of a quote from one of the greatest figures, one of the most influential people of the last 100 years, I guess you could say, the great John Wayne, obviously. He's, what a great man. But John Wayne, there's this quote that I heard a long time ago, and it's always stuck with me, and it always makes me think of this reading. John Wayne said, courage is not being afraid. Courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyways. St. Peter had courage in this moment. He was scared to death. He didn't know what was going on, but he got out of the boat because the Lord called him to act. I think why most of us stay stuck and we stay stagnant and we spin our wheels and we see no progress whatsoever and we're doing the same things now that we did 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and we haven't actually seen growth or movement. I think a lot of that boils down to fear. And here's the thing, brothers and sisters, if your faith is comfortable right now, if you can't point out a single place within your life, within your faith life, within your relationship with God, if you can't point out a single place that is scary to you, then you are not living your faith correctly. I will promise you that. Because the Lord is constantly asking us to get out of the boat, get out of your comfort zone, get out of that area of safety and security. It is a constant invitation. Come, come on out. Come on out. But the boat is so comfortable. But how do we know? How do I know that the Lord asking of us? And I think that's where that first reading comes in, and the two readings just align perfectly of the tiny whispering sound. I believe, and this is what the church teaches, that the Lord is speaking to each of us constantly. You don't have to be a cloistered nun in a convent somewhere for the Lord to speak to you. You don't have to be Mother Teresa of Calcutta and doing all these kind of, you know, working on the in the homeless slums of Calcutta for the Lord to speak to you. Currently, as you are, before your conversion, I'm saying you could be the worst sinner and that you could of anybody that you know, you could be the worst sinner right now, and the Lord still has something to tell you. In your sin, not after you figure it all out and you've overcome that, but right now he's trying to speak. But he's not going to compete with the storm, and he's not in the storm. It's the tiny whispering voice. And this is the piece that we miss. Because it's so calm, it's so subtle, we don't recognize his voice when he speaks to us. Or we ignore it, or we push it off, or we make excuses, or we allow fear to be the dominating thing in our lives. I'll give you an example of what I'm trying to say here. And I think I've told this story before, but it bears repeating. It just, for myself, several years ago, it was a Saturday morning. I was right trying to finish my homily and kind of typing it out and sitting there at my computer, and I heard this voice just say to me, "Go to the Adoration Chapel." And I thought, that's a good idea. I'll go there eventually. I gotta finish this homily because I gotta have something to say for this afternoon. Type. 5-10 minutes later, it came back again. Go to the Adoration Chapel. And I was like, man, I'm mid paragraph. I gotta knock this thing out and write this down. And I will go. I'll do that once I'm finished here. Blah blah blah. And the third time it came back, like, not mean but very insistent. Go to the Adoration Chapel. Okay. Shut my laptop. Walk my happy little self over to the Adoration Chapel, and I go in there, and there's only one other person in there. It's this teenage girl. She's sitting there doing a holy hour, and the Lord said, "Speak to her." That's all I got. Go to the Adoration Chapel and speak to her. That was it. Those were my clues. Whispered. Lord, I don't know what I'm supposed to say. What do I talk about? Nothing. Okay, so I turn around and I say, this is going to sound weird, but I don't know what I'm supposed to say, but I feel like the Lord asked me to say something, so I'm just going to start talking and hopefully something sticks. But here's the thing, just a few weeks before that, she was in a group that we all went to, the Steubenville Conference, and I was just so impressed by her faith in this conference, where she was just locked in prayer, and she was just leading by example in so many things. And so I was just kind of pointing out a few of the observations that I had made on that trip and just saying that I was just so proud of her for her example, for her witness, and how I know it influenced the other kids on that trip, and it impacted me as well. And I was just proud of her for that. And she burst into tears, like body-heaving, sobbing, big, huge tears, and couldn't control herself and crying so hard. And I'm like, what's going on here? But after she kind of pulled herself together, she told me that her dad had passed away several years before. And I believe that was actually the day of the anniversary of her dad's death. And she was sitting in the Adoration Chapel, and she had been praying, like, specifically, her prayer was, "Lord, I want to know that you're proud of me." That was her prayer. "I want to know that you're proud of me." Her father was gone, and he was constantly that source of, "Hey, I'm proud of you. You're doing great. I'm proud of you." And again, did that moment change the world? Did she become the next Mother Teresa of Calcutta? No. But brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, this is the way the Lord works. But we have Christians who can go an entire lifetime, 50, 60, 80 years old, and have never responded to that invitation. They don't know what it sounds like. They haven't heard his voice. They haven't taken the time to give the Lord the silence to speak to their hearts. And so we go through the motions, and we end up going through an entire lifetime without ever actually being an instrument in the Lord's hand. And it is scary. Here I was. I was ordained. I was a deacon at the time. I was ordained a deacon. I was, you know, already committed to the Lord, but it was still scary for me to respond in that way. So, I'm just asking you, I'm inviting you to consider, am I living a comfortable faith that is easy and staying in the boat? And where is the Lord inviting me to step out? And there are plenty of ways. When's the last time you invited somebody to go to Mass with you? That's scary. When's the last time that you actually articulated what's going on in your side of your heart to your spouse and were really honest in that? That is scary. Are you tithing 10%? Father, we can't afford that. That's scary. We won't be able to make it. Yeah, that's an invitation to step out of the boat. These are all ways, and there's a thousand other ways, small ways, that the Lord invites us to put our faith into action. My prayer is that we can be a people of faith, that fear does not control who we are, but we can act in faith.